Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs, dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs.
Good morning and welcome to the Dog Zone. I am your host, Cindy Scott. I'm a dog trainer, behavioral consultant, and author of The Zen Shen, Enlightened Training for a Fabulous Dog. And that's why we're here again today, is to give you some tips, some tricks, some ideas on how to make your dog just a little bit more fabulous and have some fun doing it, by the way. On today's show, we have with us Cheryl Mathis. She is with Leashes and Lovers, which is a creative new website. I'll let her tell you about it, but it's basically a way where your best furry friend can help you find other friends. And also later on today's show, we're going to be talking about the key to learning. This is what everything hinges on, so stay tuned for that. And also in the tip of the week, I'm going to have a great new product that I just love. I think it's really creative. It's been around a long time, and there's some new uses for it, and I just love it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the tip of the week. And, of course, if you have any questions or want any information about my guest today or any other guests or sponsors for the show, please go to my website, myzendog.com. You can also sign up for my newsletter and get all this stuff sent to you directly in your email inbox. How convenient is that? So myzendog.com. But right now, let's talk with Cheryl Mathis. And again, she is with Leashes and Lovers. Well, good morning, Cheryl. Welcome to the Dog Zone.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. I found your site, Leashes and Lovers, which is hilarious, by the way. And you have to tell my listeners exactly what is going on with your site.
Well, because our dogs are so important to us, when you meet somebody, naturally your dog comes up. So
well, it's like your kids, you know?
Exactly.
I agree.
They're your family member.
That's right.
So whether you're even meeting somebody, you know, just as a friend, or if you're looking for a date, or even as a couple, you know, the dog is part of everything. So that's when I came up with Leashes and Lovers, and where dog lovers make a profile. It's of themselves and their dog, although you don't have to have a dog to be a member on this site. And actually, a lot of people don't.
Oh, really?
Meeting dog people, and I think that you know there's something about a dog lover when you meet them.
Yeah. Well, I guess some people, you know, if you live in an apartment or you're not able to have a dog, but, you know, you still love them.
Exactly, and a lot of those people in that situation may have had a dog at some point in their life.
True.
Want to get a dog. Or recently lost a dog. So it's just knowing that you're a dog lover, and that's definitely the common bond for people at Leashes and Lovers.
Well, I think it's interesting because now I've been married forever, so I can't even remember a time when I wasn't
I know,
in a relationship.
The same way, yeah.
But what, you know, lots of my friends are just, you know, getting married now, and their dogs are like stepchildren, you know. One of my good friends, she just got married, and he had two dogs, and she had two dogs, and it was like the dogs had to meet, and the dogs had to get along before they would even consider getting married. It was hilarious.
They probably did. And then there's all those other issues, right? Then they merged their dog houses. So
it's like the Brady Bunch with dogs, you know?
It is. And and hopefully everything kind of blended smoothly.
Yeah.
But there can be issues. And actually, we've done a lot of live in-person events, too, with Leashes and Lovers. And especially for women, they'll say that when they introduce the person to their dog, if their dog isn't crazy about that guy, there will not be a second date.
Oh, yeah, no. I broke up with somebody because my cat didn't like him. So, no. I'm there. And I think they're a really good judge of character. So, you know, if your dog doesn't like him, your dog's trying to tell you something.
Well, and dogs are a little more easygoing. They usually like everybody.
Yeah, so. That's what I'm saying. So if they don't like him, there's something going on there. You should listen to your dog.
Yeah, exactly. Now, your cat, on the other hand, I don't know. Do cats...
Oh, I trusted her opinion. Her opinion was, she was a good judge of character.
A cat like a dog.
Exactly. Well, that's great. And so you also have a section on your website called Fetch a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the same thing.
Right, that's the social community portion of it. So they can either fetch a friend or fetch a date or fetch a doggy play date or even look for those people who may have the same breed as them. So,
oh, so it's not only people hooking up, but it's dogs hooking up too. So exactly. You can find a friend for your dog.
Yeah, because if you get a chance, when you look at the profile of somebody, on the left-hand side of the page is the person, and on the right is the dog.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can send a dog treat to that dog and kind of get to know each other's dogs. And,
right.
And I haven't specialized or wanted to call it fetch a friend, because even if you eventually find a date or save and find love on Leashes and Lovers, it's best to usually start out, you know, on a basis where you come from the aspect of, I want to get to know you at least.
Oh, yeah.
As a friend.
And it's always good to start as a friend.
Yeah, and then the relationships can develop from there.
Right.
And a lot of people simply just want other friends, too, and know that you have, again, that common bond of being dog lovers. So it's friendship first, and then if other things develop, that's great.
That's hilarious. And you were saying that you have some in-person meetings, too, like little yappy hour-type situations, the cocktail hours. That's great.
That's actually how Leashes and Lovers started. Mm. Is I really wanted to do a TV pilot on people, pets, and dating. And while I was launching that or looking for some interest in that, I figured, well, what can I do at least that I can do in person? And so I started these events in Manhattan where I'd find different lounges where they would allow the people to come in with their dogs, and we'd have cocktails and martinis. And it just was a really easy way to get to know everyone.
Yeah, and there's not a better icebreaker in the world than a dog.
Exactly. The dog makes it so easy for us, whether it's in a bar or even on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often, you know, the other dog when you're walking down the street and you see each other out every day and you get to know the dog's name first.
Right, or just to start up a conversation
mm-hmm.
about the dog. It's so easy to do it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, now you also have a book coming out in March, is that what you said, or May?
Yeah, coming
some
out
M.
soon. It's being printed as we speak. It just went to the printer, so it's coming
so
out
exciting.
Very soon. And it's called Leashes and Lovers, What Your Dog Can Teach You About Love, Life, and Happiness.
Very true, very true, very true. And what's it going to be about? Just different ways to socialize with your dog? Or
it actually takes the path of what's happened a lot with Leashes and Lovers.
Mm.
The beginning chapters are if someone is single and they are looking for that date, and then the next chapter moves on into then, okay, you become a couple, and now what happens, like you were talking about that couple earlier, now
mm-hmm.
they move in together, they get married, they have four dogs between them, and maybe everything was great in Copacetic when it was, you know, she had her dogs and he had his dogs, but now how do you all get along?
Cohabitate together. It's not always easy.
Discipline differently.
Yep.
And so I give lots of tips and stories throughout the book. And then there's also a chapter that deals with if there is a breakup
mm-hmm.
And how you handle that when the couple splits but the dog doesn't. And then there's also how your dog impacts your relationships, even with your friends mm-hmm. and extended family.
Mm-hmm. I've had that happen a lot, just anecdotally, people that I know and clients of mine, where they'll get a dog together and then either their boyfriend and their girlfriend, they break up, or even marriages break up, and then they have to decide who gets custody of the dog.
Right. Yeah. And so I point out a lot of different aspects and things to consider if that were to happen, that instinctively, you know, especially if it's not a good breakup.
Exactly.
Somebody wants to just take the dog, and it's dealing with issues in terms of, let's look at it from the aspect of what may be best for the dog.
Right, just like you would a child.
Mm-hmm. But it's difficult, though, in this breakup.
It is.
Actually, I had that happen. I joke a lot of time that I had a poodle earlier in our different relationship, and that I lost him in the custody battle.
Aww.
But it was a boyfriend girlfriend situation that we were in at the time, and it was my dog. But I had a roommate at the time, and our dog would eat our underwear and lots of cute things. But I don't know if my roommate was real thrilled about it. So that he had a house at the time, and it actually was better that my dog was at his house.
Yeah,
he had a backyard and he had more of a home there, and I would see him all the time. But when we broke up, it was funny because the first thing he said to me was, "You're not getting the dog back."
Yeah. Well, they say, you know, you never really know somebody till you break up with them. So
in this case, it was actually, I was okay with it.
That's good.
If I'm breaking up with him, it's not like I can break up with him and take the dog.
Right. That's too much.
And it was really best for my dog.
Well, and ultimately, that's what you have to think about, you know. is the best situation for them. So very good. Well, what do you have any tips or advice for people that are either, you know, looking for somebody or if they want to merge with somebody that already has dogs?
Well, the type of breed often is certainly an indicator. And
oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think not to stereotype to some degree, but one thing that I know it does appeal to people, and we may not even realize it, is maybe the size of the dog that that person has. Some people are more prone to loving tiny dogs, and some like the big dogs, and then what that may say about the person. And overall, I think some people with bigger dogs may like to do things more outdoors. They may like to play fetch with their dog more, go to the beach, go hiking.
Oh, that's interesting. So the kind of dog you have says a lot about who you are as a person.
Yeah, it does tend to. And I've noticed that even at a lot of parties. And, you know, again, they're somewhat stereotypical, but I think we can read into some of that, where I think guys do view a woman who may have a bigger dog, such as a lab or so, to be more low maintenance, more of an outdoorsy, rugged type of girl who may be up for always going to the football games with him or outdoor events, that sort of thing, and wear a smaller dog that's dressed up with cute little booties and matching attire, you know, they may view as more of a higher maintenance woman. But again, so, I think the core, though, is that we're all, you know, that we're dog lovers.
And it's not just, you know, the breed that you have, but what you do with that breed. If, you know, like you said, it's not just if you have a little dog, but if you have them dressed up all cutesy and everything.
Right.
Because some of us don't have a choice. They just literally show up on our doorstep. In my case. So that's very interesting. And are there places where if somebody is trying to meet someone, especially, you know, if you're a dog lover and you, of course, want to meet another dog lover, are there particular places outside of the vet's office that you might find other dog lovers?
Yeah. And, well, you know, a lot of places are really becoming more dog friendly these days, which is so nice.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And actually, when I had one dog at the time, and then I had two, he recently passed away, but now I'm back to one, and I found it's so easy to take one with you, it seems like. And she's even a big dog. She's a greyhound, but I would even take her in all kinds of clothing boutique stores, and especially even the higher-end boutique ones. You'd be amazed. They're usually very pet-friendly, and sometimes it even just takes asking as you first walk in, you know, do you mind if I bring my dog?
Right.
But like you said, besides even the vet, there's a lot of the pretty much of these pet stores or pet superstores all allow the dogs inside, and even a lot of vineyards.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
a lot of them love having dogs, or may even have the outdoor setting. A lot of restaurants, especially if they have.
Excuse to go to a vineyard, okay?
Yeah,
I'm all over that.
No, I've even done that sometimes on a weekend when my husband was working or so, and before we had our kids, and just looking for something to do, and it's like you don't feel silly when you have your dog with you.
That's
if you're alone
so
and
true.
Your girlfriends are all busy or something.
You have somebody there. They're your buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you license to pretty much go anywhere and have your dog. And I'd make all kinds of friends at the vineyard, especially.
That's great.
And even at my the cocktail parties that we would have with Leashes and Lovers, I'd mostly have a lot of single women come by themselves, with their dog.
Yeah.
And it's as if they felt completely comfortable coming into that kind of setting.
Oh, well,
they had their safety net.
There's no better date than your dog. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, except for they can't drive you home. That's the only thing. But, they make a great date. Absolutely.
And, of course, there's always the dog parks, the groomer, a lot of block parties, festivals. It seems like a lot of the shelters, too, now are coming to have events and parties or even volunteer. It'll make you feel great to help out those dogs awaiting a home, and it's another way to get to know a lot of other dog lovers, too.
Oh, that's a great idea. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, what is your website again? Tell everybody your website so they can go to it and check out all these great things on their own.
Yeah, there's so much to do there. It's Leashes, like a dog leash, leashesandlovers.com. So you can come make a profile of yourself. If you have a pet, that's great. Make one for you and your dog. There's also Fetch a Biz. So in the marketplace, you can go and check out pet-friendly businesses that may especially love catering to dog lovers.
Oh, that's a good idea, and find those places where you can take your dog.
Right, or find a photographer or different clothing boutiques or so. There's different categories, and you can search for products and services for yourself and for your dog. And we also have just a lot of information, too, on breeds, articles, a lot of news resources.
Fantastic. And information about your book will be there as well, correct?
The book is on this site. The page itself, in order to order the book, is coming very soon.
So check back.
In the meantime, yeah, come make a profile. Come get to know us. We want to get to know you. And it's all at leashesandlovers.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Cheryl. It's a great site, and good luck with all of it to you.
Oh, I had a wonderful time, and thanks, and always wanting to get to know more dog lovers.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, again, that was Cheryl Mathis, and she is with leashesandlovers.com. And some great ideas there. Go to her website, check it out, check out her new book that's coming out. And it's all about, you know, there's so much about Facebook and socializing right now. So, of course, socialize with your dog. And it's great for them. It gets them out. It enriches their life. And they enrich our lives in return. So it's an absolutely wonderful thing to keep in mind with your dog. Now, switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about behavior. I want to talk about one of the keys to behavior that sometimes gets overlooked. And the real key to changing a behavior is motivation. Motivation is the one thing you want to keep in mind, whether you're trying to train your dog, your cat, your goldfish, your teenager. It's all about motivation. Finding something that makes the organism want to do what you want them to do, basically. Now, for dogs, a reward, a motivator can be, of course, food. It can be toys. It can be balls. It can be your attention. It can be going for a walk. It can be, you know, for some dogs, swimming. Anything that floats their boat is a motivator. Anything that gets them to do what you want them to do. Now, within those categories, for instance, food, you want to use a variety of foods. Don't always use the same treat every time. They're going to get sick of it. Don't always use the same squeak toy every time. They're going to get tired of it. Freshen it up every now and then makes it more interesting and thus more motivating. Now, within the food category, I want you to remember that food is like money to your dog. So you've got, you know, a little organic biscuit, hard biscuit, that's maybe worth $5 to your dog. You break out a little piece of leftover chicken, you're talking maybe $1,000, maybe $10,000 to your dog, depending on how good the chicken is. So you think about what you wouldn't do for $5, I guarantee you'd at least think about for the right price. And it's the same thing with your dog. So if you're working with your dog and say you're in a high distraction area, like if you're working with them in the front yard or you're working with them at a park and there's lots of stuff going on, they're not going to be interested in that $5 treat. You break out that $1,000 treat, aha, they're going to be more likely to pay attention to you. So it's all about motivation. What motivates them to do what you want them to do? And so many times, you know, people use the same treat over and over again, and then they get mad at the dog because the dog isn't interested in them. Well, it's not the dog's fault that you're not interesting, sorry to say, but you have to keep their interest in you. It's not up to them. And some breeds, some individual dogs are going to be more distracted than others. Terriers are like, well, I hate to stereotype them, but most of the time they're like little mosquitoes on crack. I mean, their attention span is that of a gnat. So you're going to have to give them more feedback more often to keep their interest in you. Because if you're boring, they're on to the next thing. Now, some other dogs, you can be slower. Bloodhounds, for instance, generally, you know, we have to kind of poke them a little bit to get them to wake up during training sessions. But generally, they have a slower reaction time, so you don't have to reward as quickly. But if your dog is losing interest in you, it's not your dog's fault. You need to reward them more often. And again, a reward is not always food. It can be toys. It can be attention. It can just be simply your feedback of, hey, good job. Thank you very much. Good dog. Good dog. giving them that feedback is really crucial to the reinforcement process, because if they're not getting reinforced for a behavior, they're not going to do it again. And so many times we take the good behavior for granted, and they can do it, you know, they'll offer the behavior so many times, and if they don't get a reward for that offered behavior, they're not going to offer it anymore. So we have little windows of opportunity when the dog is doing the right thing, and we have to make sure that we reward it, or else it's not going to happen again. And the way to keep your dog's attention is through motivation. Think about what your dog likes, what he's willing to work for, and then pay him. Pay him for his service. Give it to him. And again, a treat, you know, you're talking, when you give your dog a treat, the size of maybe half your pinky fingernail. I mean, just a teensy little taste is all you need, especially for little dogs. A Chihuahua is going to fill up a lot faster than a Great Dane. So teensy, teensy little bites. And if you're losing their interest, you just got to up the reward. So motivation is the key to learning. Remember that. Remember that with your teenager too. Problem with teenagers is I can't figure out what motivates them. Video games, I guess. If I could like wave video games in front of them or something, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Which brings us to our tip of the week. Now, the tip of the week this week is a product that's been around for a while, and I've been using it more and more myself and with my clients over the past year, and that is doggy backpacks. I love doggy backpacks. And if you haven't seen them, oh gosh, they're readily available. You can go online, you can Google them, search them on the internet. But most of the pet stores, even the larger chain pet stores, are carrying them now. They come in different sizes, and they're basically like little saddlebags for your dog. And one reason that I started using them was because it helps to weigh your dog down a lot. Particularly more energetic breeds. My clients were having problems with, you know, they take their dog for a walk and they'd come back and the dog was still full of energy. So what we would do is we put a backpack on them, put maybe a bottle of water in each side, and it would weigh them down a little bit, so they'd have to exert more energy and their walks would therefore tire them out a little bit more. Now, what I have found anecdotally using them and personally using them is you can also stick, you know, some poop bags in there, stick some treats in there, stick a tennis ball in there, stick a squeak toy in there, stick your cell phone in there, your car keys. And it's kind of like your dog has a purse. It's great. I mean, stick all their stuff in there. They can carry their own poop bags. And one, you don't have to carry it. It frees you up. And also, you're never stuck again without a poop bag. Oh gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've been stuck, scrounging for a poop bag or something to use as a poop bag. But if you have all of that in your dog's backpack, you don't even have to think about it. It's all right there, ready to go. And, before you take them out on a walk, or if you're going to take them on a hike, or, you know, wherever you take them, just, you know, slip the backpack on them. It's great. It's also a resistance, because it does, of course, go on their back, and then it connects underneath, it fastens underneath. And so it is a little bit of a resistance. And some dogs, not all dogs, but some dogs, with it on, even if it's empty, they move a little bit slower. So in some areas, it does help with the walking on leash as well. They're not pulling as much. They're weighted down. It's a resistance. And they're carrying their own supplies. Yay! So you don't have to carry it, and you're never stuck without what you need, whether it's water, poop bags, or some treats. It's all right there. So doggy backpacks, check them out. They come in different sizes too. Obviously the ones for small dogs don't carry as much as the ones for the big dogs, but they look adorable. So adorable. They come in different colors, different patterns, so you can accessorize your dog, because you know how I love to accessorize. And so it's practical and kind of whimsical at the same time. So doggy backpacks, check them out. Now, if you'd like any more information on today's show or previous shows, please go to my website, myzendog.com. I'll have links there for leashes and lovers. I will have links there on my faves page for all my previous guests and sponsors. So go to the website, check it out. You can also sign up for my newsletter so you can get all this information straight to your email box. Couldn't be any easier. Oh, and I also wanted to mention that the results are in. If you've been following the What the Heck is Bosley contest, we got the results. Surprising results. You are not going to believe it. I wouldn't have believed it. It's amazing. So the results are in. Next week's show, I will be announcing those results. We're going to be talking with Robin Ray from the DNA testing facility, and she is going to give us all of the specifics on what his results were and why his results were what they were. So tune in for that show. It's going to be very educational, very informative, and I guarantee you will be surprised at the results. I know I was. It's kind of par for the course, but you'll be interested in the results. So anyway, tune in next week for that. And in the meantime, go to my website, again, myzendog.com. And until next week, thank you very much for listening. And now go play with your dog. Go have some fun. Go play. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Futuristic bow wow.